Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Good evening, everybody, and as always, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join me, television journalist Victoria Gaither, on At Home with Victoria. My sidekick, Michael Kay, is also with us this evening. We're talking about a subject that is not only very dear to my heart and Michael's heart, but also our guest, Martin Baruch, who's going to join us in a moment. MK, how are you today? I know you've been excited about the show.
I'm looking very forward to the show, and I'm doing great today. It was a rainy, kind of gushy, ugly day, so, you know, I made a big pot of pierogies and ate them with butter. So, I mean, I feel disgusted but satiated, so it was a good day all in all.
Well, listen, before we bring Martin on, let's give everybody the quick 411 on who he is, because I want to go right into his story, so that we don't get bogged down on time. So tell us about him and who he is and the show that he's on.
Certainly. Martin Baruch, right now, he's partners with Mike Ruiz. Mike Ruiz is an international fashion photographer whose work I've admired for years, and I actually watched the show on Logo called The A-List New York. It's basically a Sex in the City for gay men, and I caught the episode where Martin was actually talking to Mike about his children and broke down like a child. Like, it really moved me deeply because of my own little dealing with it, but yeah, since then, Martin is a strong advocate against parental alienation, is working really hard to provide some sort of legislation. So I'm very excited and very pleased that we'll be chatting with him tonight. I just adore the two of them.
Well, and with that said, Martin, thank you so much for being here on the show tonight, my friend.
Hey, buddy.
Well, thank you so much. Hi, guys. Thank you so much, Victoria and Michael. I really appreciate this opportunity to bring to light this issue, which is, as you had mentioned, so close to my heart and one that is so prevalent in society, and that unfortunately there is not enough of a voice out there to let people know just how much this affects so many people, so many children and parents alike who are alienated or rather estranged from each other.
Now, so what age were your kids, Martin, when you started to deal with this parental alienation?
Well, I separated from my ex-wife 6 years ago, and we went through a very contentious divorce for 3 years that went to trial, and we finally got our divorce 3 years ago. And during that time period, there was a very, I would consider it a very gradual escalation of alienation between the children and me, but one that wasn't that perceivable. It's almost, I like to use a little metaphor and consider it as having a frog in water where you turn up the heat and it comes to a slow boil, and it's just that one mm-hmm. does not realize what's happening at the time because there's a lack of information about this. No, I had never even heard of the term before I had gone through this experience myself. So as time went on, I basically realized, you know, that something was not right. There were a lot of canceled visits. There were little squabbles with my children. We would have arguments that really did not make sense to me, and I couldn't understand the source of or the root of the issue, and I just chalked it up mm-hmm. to kids growing up. But that said, it wasn't really until I met my partner, as Mike, you had just mentioned, Mike Ruiz and I have been together for close to 2 years now. When we first met, the children met Mike, and they loved him. As a matter of fact, my daughter Annabelle, she was a great fan of America's Next Top Model. where Mike mm-hmm. had guest judged and also served as photographer. And she happened to have seen him in several episodes, and I remember her being very giddy and happy to and excited to meet him, and mm-hmm. primping herself up with makeup and, you know, the hair dryer and the blow dryer and, you know, the curling iron and all that. So she being the girly girl, she was very thrilled to meet him. And my son, when he met him as well, who's they're 5 years apart, by the way. She's 13, he's 9. She's going to be 14 next month, actually. And when my son met Mike, they have such an incredible synergy. They have such chemistry and get along so well. It was really amazing to see how quickly they all bonded. So that made me really happy. As the months progressed, as time went on, I think my ex-wife got wind of just how serious this relationship was turning out to be. And at that point, I think proportionately, the children started displaying some behaviors that were giving me some indication that something was amiss here. And there would be certain comments. I'm not going to get into the details of it, but there were certain things that were said that led me to believe that they were being fueled by another party, and the only other person I could think of was my ex-wife. So mm-hmm. I think that there might have been some jealousy. I'm just making assumptions.
You know, that's what I was going to say.
You know?
Martin, that's what I was going to say, because as soon as you talked about how excited your daughter was to meet Mike, and also the great connection that both of your kids have with him. One thing I can tell you that I know about kids, and I've covered so many of these stories, you know, kids talk. It's very difficult mm-hmm. for kids to not talk. And if kids are having a great time, you know, for example, when they're done with their visit with their dad and mom or whoever picks them up in the car, oh, you better believe as soon as they get in the car, they start talking about what they did that weekend, whether it's, oh, you know, we did this with Mike, or we did that, or we did this and we did that. And, you know, I can certainly see that how that parent could be upset, and not really upset, how that parent could be jealous about that, and then start to cause trouble. And trouble meaning, to start planting, little things inside the kid's mind. And it's interesting because one thing that you said that I know for sure, how you can tell that is happening, because quickly their behavior starts to change. And you see it.
Indeed. And that's exactly what transpired here. Everything really, as I mentioned before, was very gradual, but it really came to a head at the end of last summer in 2010. I was taking the children on vacation, and my ex-wife did not want me to take them to Florida. And it was just a matter of having me hamstrung, where I couldn't basically take them as the courts had determined through the divorce, the judgment of divorce. Late in August, there were some trumped-up charges that were later dropped because mm-hmm. they obviously weren't true. But she went as far as putting an order of protection against me. And mm-hmm. this, when you start getting the law involved, the justice system, is a very big ship that takes a long time to turn around. And it took my attorneys actually 4 months to be able to dispel, these grievous accusations that were made against me mm-hmm. that were, again, unfounded. So, but during the course of those 4 months, my children had become estranged from me. So by the time that visitation was reinstilled, and in my case, I was, in order to have a cooling off period and to be able to reintroduce a normalization of our relationship, the judge had ordered that the children, that I have supervised visitation with the children until it could be determined that there was a comfort level that could be achieved. And I did get to see the children in January of this year on three separate visits, and increasingly they became less strained, and then I had unsupervised visitation for a few days, and then over a weekend, and everything seemed to be back to normal again, which was surprisingly quick in my mind. However, something was triggered in with my daughter, because she wanted to go back home at a certain time, and I was following the judgment of divorce, which said it was at a later time. And my daughter had already been used to this time period that my wife had instilled in her. So basically, this created some commotion, and then it escalated into an argument, and apparently she told my ex-wife about this situation, and again, my ex-wife had the police come over the next time I went over to pick up my children, and even though I had a court order in my back pocket showing that I had every right to take my children on a visit, the police had informed me that the children had informed the police that they were scared to see me. So this obviously raised an eyebrow, and once again, we took it back to court, and the judge decided to hold an extraordinary hearing called the Lincoln hearing to interview the children on their own, to hear from their own voice what is the problem. And they basically, at this point, as far as I'm concerned, were parroting, you know, their mother's thoughts, and did not have a voice of their own. So what's happening here basically is that the kids have been indoctrinated into a belief system, and I'm going to bring up another subject here, is that my ex-wife has been using religion as a tool, and me being gay and the children being raised Catholic had become a very effective tool into embarrassing the children into thinking that daddy is not a good man, that daddy, you know, is a sinner because he's gay, and he chooses to be a sinner, and he's going to hell, you know, and he, I guess, indirectly is choosing his partner over them, you know. So how you get from point A to point Z through this labyrinth of thought is quite complicated, but very effective nevertheless, because it's now been a year since I've been able to have a normal relationship with my children.
So has it been a year now since you have actually seen them at all?
Well, it's been a year since this all transpired, since the time of the order of protection. But it was actually last January that I saw them for the very last time. And I've not even spoken to them since. So it's been 6-7 months at this point.
Wow. No calls, no nothing.
No calls, nothing. I repeatedly send letters, emails, text messages, leave voicemails on their cell phones. They each have their own cell phone. I've tried contacting them for birthdays, different holidays. You know, everything has gone on deaf ears, and it's very frustrating, very sad, but nevertheless very much a reality.
You know, you gotta love the Catholic religion. I mean, it's there's no hypocrisy in that one at all. But just to give out a little bit of more information, actually, the parental alienation syndrome, or PAS, was kind of coined by the internationally recognized child psychiatrist Richard A. Gardner in the 80s, and he's discovered actually that there's actually three types. One being naive alienators, and there are parents who are passive about the children's relationship with the other parent, but will occasionally do or say something that is that can alienate. All parents will, you know, everybody, I think, going through a three-year bitter divorce, yeah, you may say daddy's a butthead or what have you, but that's the lightest form. Then you have active alienators, who also know better than to alienate, but their intense hurt or anger causes them to lose their mind. And then there's obsessed alienators, which I don't know your ex-wife, but it seems like she falls into the category where she just kind of wants to basically destroy and attack dad. You know, so.
Well, unfortunately, I mean, I don't mean to attack her because that's not my intention here. What I want to do is to really lend a voice to this problem, which is very pervasive in our society. And there really isn't a voice out there to let people know, you know, that this is really a very big issue. I've spoken to many people who have been alienated from their children. I've spoken not only to parents, but I've spoken to children. Adults who were children of alienation cases, you know, so it takes on many different forms, and it's really amazing just how insidious this problem is.
I think all of us too, Martin and Michael, probably remember. I don't know if it was last year or even a couple of years ago. Remember. When it was one of the, Alec Baldwin, when he was going through that bitter divorce with Kim, somehow they got wind, one of the shows got wind of that message that he left on his daughter's machine. So I want to say for me, although I kind of, you know, knew about it through my work as a journalist, but I want to say that was probably really one of the first times nationally that I can remember, you know, as a nation that people started to talk about parental alienation was when that incident happened with him.
Absolutely. I mean, I not to date myself, but I remember a movie way back when called Kramer versus Kramer, and that's really the very first time that I ever had any idea that anything of this nature was going on. But from then until the Alec Baldwin, Kim Basinger situation, as a matter of fact, I had never heard of anything that that had transpired in the news, or any or heard of any friends that were talking in these terms. But it wasn't until again that I was faced with the situation myself that, you know, as I was speaking to people, just from a cathartic point of view, it was just, you know, vomiting out my information to anybody and whoever would listen to me, you know, that some people would come to me and say, oh, my God, this happened to me as well, or I know somebody to whom this has happened, you know. And it's really very sad, and it's a difficult position to be in, and because it's very frustrating. As an alienated parent, I can say I actually empathize with Alec Baldwin. I can imagine what the poor man must have been going through that would have prompted him to lose control and actually, you know, leave that berating message that we all know about. I actually kind of thank him for that, because I've minded my P's and Q's for years now, because I know just how detrimental that could be. You know, to lose your cool with a child is something that could be really dangerous and detrimental to the child or children. And that, again, is really the root here, is the best interest of the children. As the courts themselves say, that's who they're trying to protect here. But
talk about what it's like, you know, because when you're in that situation, of course, you know, your everyday life goes on in terms of, you know, your family, your friends, being in a relationship. And I know just from personal experience myself, you know, that can also take a toll on your family and your loved ones, because when you go through it, you know, they go through it as well.
By all means. As a matter of fact, what I'd like to tell you, Victoria, is that, you know, when you first go through this experience, as it's a new experience, it's a shock. I can't begin to tell you, you know, how many tears I've really shed over this one. But what happens over time is that, you know, as you think this through, you learn to compartmentalize your feelings. And even though there is really this urge to talk about it ad infinitum to anybody and whoever is willing to listen to you, you also have to measure yourself as a person who's alienated from their children. With Mike, he is, again, an amazing person, and I tell everybody this because it's the truth, and he is my rock. He heard, you know, from the very inception, obviously, of all this that happened, he was always supporting me and listening to me and trying to help me through some very difficult spots, and it does take a toll on everybody. He felt a little worn down by this whole experience. And even when I spoke to my attorney about this, you know, my attorney would say, you know, try to keep a little bit away from Mike because it is affecting him a lot, you know, and it's ultimately mm-hmm. going to affect your relationship. Luckily for me, I count on a very loving and strong man. He has weathered through this with me and has just been constant for me. And he's always been there for me. It's only built our relationship and made our relationship stronger. So yeah. I have to say I adore this guy. So yeah, if it wasn't for him, yeah.
That was very evident during the episode. And I just want to make mention on the Alec Baldwin, Kim Basinger thing. What I heard in that phone call was simply a parent disciplining a child. I didn't hear really any parental alienation there, but that's just my two bits. Martin, I'm sorry, you talked about the attorney and stuff. How concerned are you of doing this interview? I know there's so many things that I don't want to go ahead and put your relationship with the kids or anything like that in jeopardy, but do you feel fairly comfortable dealing with all of this publicly? Because The A-List is a pretty popular show.
I do. I mean, I want to make sure that I don't share any of the details of the case because that would put into jeopardy, you know, the outcome of it. But I certainly can glean over it and talk about the case in general terms. And again, I want to reiterate what I'm talking about is it's not an attack on my ex-spouse.
Absolutely.
It's really about shedding some light on what this problem is all about and how we can look for ways of troubleshooting it and finding some resolution so that it's in our past. And what I'm very much a strong advocate of is of making sure that as I get this voice out to find perhaps some way to encourage some legislature to be enacted that would be able to stave off a little bit of this problem and maybe curb some behaviors by the alienators that would otherwise and have been, you know, just running freely, you know, making accusations without having mm-hmm. any consequences to bear upon.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
so
exactly.
That's really what this
now,
is about.
What type of support have you been getting from fans and viewers of the show?
I have to say, people have been incredibly supportive and receptive to, you know, to my plight. And, I got shortly after that episode aired, a lot of people wrote in and just told me how they were brought to tears and how they empathize with me and, you know, that they're sending their prayers my way and just beautiful words of support. And that's really what I was hoping for. I could not have imagined anything better than what I had read, you know, and what people told me on the streets or have been telling me on the streets or, you know, friends, you know, that know about my case. You know, everybody has been very supportive about this. So, I have not had any negative backlash because of it. And I think that, again, it all depends on how you carry yourself. You know, if one is to bash a person just, you know, to seek some sort of retribution, that's not going to further the cause. It's not, and it's certainly not going to resolve any of the problems. So I'm a problem solver, and I look to find the most efficient way to, you know, to find a resolution to my issue of alienation, and hopefully normalize my relationship with my kids as quickly as possible. And I know it's been over a year at this point, you know, but I am eternally optimistic, and I just don't take no for an answer.
Good.
Wow. I mean, what a incredible story, and just the fight that you have in you. But something that I see and that I can feel as we have this conversation, the optimism, because I know in my own personal life and going through things with my family, sometimes you get to the point where you just feel like there's just no more hope. I mean, you, and I know you've probably had times like that where you just sob and cry, that you just can't even cry anymore. You just feel so hopeless. So, I mean, I look at someone like you, and just the hope that I get from you, I think, you know, just that is going to help just, you know, tens of thousands of men and women who go through this to just, you know, to be better equipped at having that hope. Wouldn't you say, MK?
Yeah, I certainly would. I'd also say that this is a lovely form of adult bullying in a lot of ways. I mean, I think it's a really great case of child abuse, but I really think it's adult bullying. It goes back to, I don't know why people cannot simply mind your business, you know. I understand my husband is now gay, left me, and I wish him luck. And, you know, I mean, I think maybe as your ex-wife, maybe I could be angry because, you know, you're dating this hot guy now. Still, when it comes down to the kids, just mind your business. I mean, this breaks me up, too, because actually my little story, my two bits, I don't want to throw my mother underneath the bus, because back in the 60s, don't want to date myself, but I am that old, there wasn't the term parental alienation. It was simply mom's pissed off at dad, you know, and therefore
right.
Dad's a jerk, don't go to dad, and everything like that. So I spent 10 years without my father and then reconnected after a bad car accident where, for some reason, in my flash of, you know, the ride to the ambulance, I thought about my dad, and I thought, you know what, I have got to make some amends. If dad is indeed a jerk, then maybe I should just love him for the jerk that he is. So gave him a call, met him up, and everything like that. Was astonished at his side of the story. I never got his side of the story. So it's one of those things where, you know, I don't think mother did it on purpose. I just think she did it out of necessity to heal her own wounds. Which now at my age, when I put on my adult eyes and look at the situation, you get a whole different take of it. I'm not saying that it was right or wrong to do, but it's just different, you know. And I'm pretty sure. I'm sure as hell thankful that your children they will be so interested, Martin. They will love you more and more because of the separation, and everything will just come to light. It's just terribly unfortunate in so many ways.
Well,
and
that's what I mentioned earlier. Yeah, actually, even before we went on the air, and I talked about how something that I think parents who alienate their kids, what they don't understand is that, you know, kids grow up to be adults and they have very good memories. I mean, they have very good memories, and then they will be able, like you did, Michael, to ask questions and to actually get the other side of the story. And, you know, I just think it's one of those things where, you know, that person at that particular time may feel like they are controlling the situation, controlling the kids, sort of sticking it to the other parent. But, you know, all of us know in the long run, it just doesn't work out that way, because, you know, I don't know when it is and when it will be, but eventually, you know, someday those kids come back to the parent who is alienated and will have a conversation with them, and they'll have to be be able to stand on and stand on what they did and have that conversation.
Absolutely. I mean, it gives me some solace to hear that. But then when I look at the flip side, I think of all the little moments. You know, there are little glimpses in time that you miss when you don't have the day-to-day with your children. And that is what I miss the most. And I guess as a gay guy, you know, I'm not to stereotype myself, but I was very hands-on as a parent. I did a lot of the chores, a lot of the activities with my children that were reserved more for, you know, in the 50s, that was the woman's place. So when you go from that kind of that level of involvement to having no involvement whatsoever, and then to top off the cake with, you know, your child cursing you out speaking to you in a very derogatory manner, it's disconcerting to say the least. And it's just abominable. But I also see it from the perspective of the alienator who, you know, as the saying goes, you know, there is sometimes, incidences where a person climbs a tree so high they can't figure out how to get back down again. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think that is what happens in many, many of these cases, is that, you know, mm-hmm. it starts as a little issue with a lot of anger, and perhaps, you know, even as the anger might dissipate, the issue has snowballed to such an extent that people, that these individuals who are alienating their children from the other parent just don't know how to extricate themselves. And this, mm-hmm. you know, I think we have to find a way to give them the space.
That.
Yeah.
That's interesting that you say that, because that's something that I have never, ever thought about. Never ever crossed my mind that something that did start off as small as what you're saying in that person's eyes and what they were trying to do has sort of turned into this big monster now that has completely gotten out of control, that they just can't even seem to get themselves out of. That's interesting.
Yeah, and I realized that Mrs. Doubtfire was a movie about parental alienation. Just dawned on me right now. Sally Field needs a punch in the head.
Well, now that she's taking her Boniva, she's nice and strong.
I know,
and I'm sure everything has changed since her Gidget days.
She's nice and strong. Well, and you know, something I wanted to say too, when you talked about sort of how we go on in life, and you know, life goes on, and this whole parental alienation was something that, you know, that you just simply didn't know anything about. I mean, you were kind of thrown into it. It was happening. And you know, I do believe all of us are given certain tasks and things, or, you know, some people may call it a burden, or, you know, I like to look at it as something that, you know, that sort of was given to you in order for you to be an advocate, because that is what you are, Martin, and that's becoming an advocate for parental alienation. I'm certainly sure that's not something that you saw for your life and that you wanted to do, but I just think, you know, that challenge that has been thrown to you, you have such a positiveness about it that just amazes me.
Well, I appreciate that, and I have to say I have to give thanks to my mom also, because she has been very, very supportive. And as a matter of fact, she said to me recently how I can't lose my sense of humor. And she is a spitfire of an old lady, and this is what I hope to inherit from her. And, you know, that's basically how you have to conduct yourself in life, is, you know, take things to heart, but don't let them rule your existence. You know, and that is what I was talking about before, is compartmentalizing my life. You know, I have an awesome life. All said and done, you know, I have this amazing man that I love, who supports me and loves me unconditionally, who honors, trusts, and respects me, and it's reciprocated. And, you know, we have a great quality of life where we have a bunch of friends who support us, who are like-minded, and who really want the best for us. And we want the best for them as well, you know. So surrounding ourselves by that kind of love and that kind of respect is really invaluable.
Absolutely.
And that's what really, yeah. And I think I that's what I wish for everybody, you know, is to be able to be surrounded by that kind of love, because that really is what pulls one through the worst of times.
Yeah, and I happen to be one of those people that tend to believe that everything does happen for a reason, and although this is incredibly painful, Martin, just your involvement in bringing this to light is, penultimate. It's very, very necessary, so... You know, you're taking one on the chin for the entire team. But you mentioned your mother. Now, what was your childhood like? Did you never experience anything like this growing up with your mom and dad?
Well, my parents would have their fights, you know, but they stayed married. They were fine. My dad passed away, and as a matter of fact, interestingly enough, I actually came out to my family even way before I got married. My dad passed away knowing me as his gay son. My relationship with my parents was really amazing, because my dad really supported me. And he was very much like the militaristic type of man, who I thought would disown me when he found out I was gay. And it was quite the contrary. Our relationship just blossomed after that.
Right.
I was very blessed from that perspective. My mom took it a little bit harder. She is Hispanic, and as a Latina, I think she had a little bit of a problem with that identity issue. But she got used to it pretty quickly and supported me. And you know, it's all about love, really. She said, you know, if you marry a Martian, I wouldn't care. At this point, you know, so she's a character, but I do have a great relationship with her, and that's what I want to have with my children, is a great relationship with them.
Well,
I certainly do believe, like I think Michael K was just probably getting ready to say before I interrupted him, some that eventually that will happen. So I know all of us look forward to the day for you when that happens, and that you would be able to share that, news with us. I feel like I'm getting a bit choked up because I'm looking at a picture of you, Martin, with your kids, they are absolutely. Well, first of all, they're gorgeous kids.
Gorgeous,
tell you that?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, they are absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous kids, and you know, it's and anytime you're dealing with children on any issue, I think it's very, very difficult. But I just know that that good always, at least I think, trumps the other side. So eventually, it may not be right now, but eventually I think that things are actually going to get better. So I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to come on and spend all the time that you did with us. Is there any other thing that you wanted to talk to us about, anything going on with the show that we need to know about, or any other good stuff?
Yeah, well, I'm just going to say to everybody to please keep watching the A-List New York, because there are actually two more episodes, I guess, left, and you're going to find out some big surprises. That's all I'm going to say about that. So,
you know, I hate to cut you off, Martin. What's it like filming the A-List? Because that's almost like surveillance to me, like a Big Brother kind of thing. You know, it's like, get out of my face already. Jeez.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I was not very familiar with the whole experience until I was thrust into it. My whole involvement is very peripheral. Obviously, I'm on it because of Mike's involvement, and I'm there. I think as they fleshed out who Mike is, the networks, I guess, wanted to see a little bit more in depth what his life is about, and I think that I lend a little bit of that to it. So, they wanted to explore a little bit of what his personal life is, just to give him, give his quote unquote character a little bit more dimension. But it's really, I mean, what can I say about it? Initially, when you have some cameras thrust into your face, it's a little disconcerting. It feels a little unnatural. And over time, you just forget that they're there, really. And it's not like it's not a constant. It's not like the All-American Family where you're being taped 24/7. It's, you know, there, you know, there's a schedule, and you know, they come in for a few hours, and we do our thing, and that's pretty much it, you know. So what you see is what you get.
Yeah, and
hey,
you see a lot on there, boy.
One quick thing that I wanted to mention is that the t-shirt line, I'm loving the t-shirts.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, Mike launched this t-shirt line with several of his images that he's photographed, and a couple of the picture of the images on the t-shirts are inspired by Tom of Finland, and also he has some images of RuPaul, who's a great friend of ours, and he is donating a portion of the proceeds for the sale of each t-shirt to a very worthwhile cause called the Ali Fournay Center, and they're a homeless shelter for LGBT youth in New York City. So that is something that is very close to our hearts as well. So by all means, if anybody out there is hasn't bought their t-shirt already, shame on them. No, I'm just kidding. but if they're interested in purchasing it, they can go to www.pepperminpark.com/charity, and they will be able to find Mike's t-shirts there, and it's being sold by that e-tailer. I also wanted to mention that I'm also part of this organization called the All Family Project, and they're based in San Francisco, and they asked me to come on board just on a volunteer basis. But I think it's an awesome organization because they are – what they're trying to do is to show the mainstream that the normalcy of gay and lesbian couples who have children. So it's really about same gender families and how they lead their lives. And it's just trying to instill upon mainstream to understand that, you know, that gay people can have children too. And it talks to equality, obviously. So they, I urge everybody if they can to please check out on Facebook the All Family Project. If you do a search on them, you'll be able to find them and just learn a little bit more about who they are and what they're trying to do. They do a lot of great stuff. So by all means, please do so.
Yeah, in fact, I just brought them up on Facebook, and all you've got to do is type in All Family Project, and they start to come up. So I'm going to go ahead and like them right now. Yeah.
Oh, that's
Facebook,
awesome.
So.
Well, thank you so much
Victoria. I'll go ahead and put the link on Facebook link on my wall if anybody wants to try to find it. Well, Martin, we love you. We support you, and I know you've got a choice of many larger media outlets than At Home with Victoria, but this is home for you, and you're always more than welcome to come back anytime to talk about anything that you've got going on that we need to know about, whether it's good or bad or just educational purposes.
By all means, and thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak out and really tell this story and try to get the message across. And by all means, if you'll have me on again, I would love to be able to discuss the progress as whatever news develops. And hopefully I'll be able to have some good news that will culminate out of all of this, and I'll be able to share it with your public.
Great. You're always welcome. And the key is under the mat, so you can come at any time.
You bet. You
we
bet.
Leave the light on. What's that, yeah, what's that hotel commercial that leaves the light on? We leave the light on for you, Martin, darling.
Oh, thank you so much, Victoria. Mike, Victoria, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Love you,
it.
Martin.
You,
say hi to Mike.
We love you so much. And again, that was Martin who was with us telling us his incredible story about parental alienation. So make sure you continue to follow him. And it's just one of those things, MK, it just tugs at your heart when you hear something like that. But what I love about Martin is that he's so optimistic, and that right there is just a life lesson for me.
Oh, absolutely. I think at this point he's so exhausted that optimism is his really only choice. I mean, it must tear your heart out. It would tear mine out. And I don't even like kids that much. But, you know, if I had kids, I would want to be with them. I just don't understand. And the gay issue, I just don't understand why it's such a problem all the time. You know, it's just what is, people. I just don't know how else to put it. Just like everybody and stop, you know, stop being a butthead to everybody. But I see.
I know somebody else who would probably have some thoughts and ideas on that, and that's our friend Steve Silverman. I think this is Steve. Can you see the board, MK?
I certainly can, and that is Mr. Silverman. But before
let's
we bring him on, I want to go ahead and bring up the fact that Pretty Season 3 airs on November 1st. He just finished filming it. He's got the inside scoop, plus he was also at the Emmys. So I'm so excited that he actually took the time. I asked him on Monday. I said, I know it's last minute, but let's play Shelly Ram the Gumdrop song just to welcome Mr. Steve Silverman. How about that?
Okay, that sounds good. Let me go down here and see if I can find it. I know you said
all
it's sort of all the way down, right?
Yeah, all the way down.
Let's see. Now I'm going all the way down, and I see my last song on my list is Trey. Trey's
okay.
on my list.
I'm going to try and click it right here. Hold on, everybody. Gumdrop song.
Steve Silverman, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Hey, Mr. Steve, how are you?
I'm very good. You don't kid around, Victoria. When you say you're going to put something up, I'm on my Facebook page. It just popped up.
No,
you weren't lying
you
about that thing to Martin.
Did you get a chance to hear any of the conversation with Martin? What are your thoughts
about
that?
I listened. Yeah, I was on for the last. I was on for the last 10 minutes. I really don't care what Martin has to say. I just like to look at photos of him, so it's all good. Whatever. there are certain people in the world who are just like you're. Like you're not supposed to be this good looking. So
right.
No,
I know, and the two of them together is just like overkill.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like it burns your eyes, you know, looking at both of them together. It's like, how could this possibly be? But I do hope that that will be a better outcome for Martin in terms of his kids, because that's just, you know, just wrong on so many levels that we talked about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So many levels.
And I heard,
but anyway,
I heard Michael.
You are here to talk about Pretty and also – the Emmys. I was so jealous when I saw that on your wall. I was telling Michael Kay, I said, can you believe this guy? I'm so excited for him.
I know.
Him and Jim
really,
look very smart.
We look really smart. We got to go. I work at Fox, so I do all the promos for it. And as a thank you, the Emmy people were very sweet. They sent us 2 VIP tickets, and they also sent us 2 tickets to the Governor's Ball, which was awesome. It was especially awesome because none of my bosses got tickets to the Governor's Ball, so they all had to go to the crappy Fox party. No, it wasn't crappy at all. It was an amazing party, but I got to go to the Governor's Ball, and it was really kind of cool because, you know, I've been doing this now 18, 19 years, and I told myself when I moved out here as a youngin' that I was going to, someday I'll go to the Emmys, and I got to go, and the really cool thing was, you know, just to go and watch and not have any pressure of, like, hearing my name or, I mean, you know, Mike, okay, last year when I was at the Indie Soap Awards, I was sweating the whole night. I was, like, half praying we'd win things, but half praying we wouldn't because I'm like, I can't get up there. I'm going to throw up. and that's, like, how you feel at the Emmys. It was really, really fun. It was really, really cool. I got to say, you know, and it's not just because I work for Fox. I think we gave a really good show. I think it was a really fast show. I thought it was really funny. I thought Jane Lynch was a terrific host. And it was really cool. It was really cool to see all, you know, everybody and anybody all dressed up. And the most random person I got to meet was John Stamos. I had no shame. I walked right up to him because we had just filmed with Jeannie Francis and Denise Alexander the day before for Pretty. And he worked with them 30 years ago on General Hospital. In fact, he was in their family. He was adopted by Denise's character. And so I actually walked right up to him and I said, John. And he was like, yes. And I'm like, hi, I'm Steve. And it's my boyfriend, Jim. And he introduced us to his wife. And then I said, I guess you'll never guess who I was with yesterday. I was with Denise Alexander and Jeannie Francis. And it took him like 2 seconds, and then he just got the biggest smile on his face. And he's like, how are they? And we just sat, you know, stood there talking, and I'm standing there going, I'm talking to John Stamos. This is just stupid random.
How cool is that?
This is stupid, but, and, you know, and it's fun. Everybody was so nice, and it was especially a great evening. My really good friend Matt Schmidt is a producer on The Amazing Race, and he won his 6th Emmy. And, and it's just great because I've known him since he was like 22 years old in grad school, and just to see him get up there again, so it's just cool. It was really fun, really fun.
What was the governor's ball like?
Very cool.
The governor's ball is insane. It's not shishi foo-foo like you'd imagine like the Hiltons or someone would throw. It's really classy and cool, and it was as if Cirque du Soleil meets, it's all black and white, and glass sculptures from the ceiling and these aerialists and all sorts of craziness going on there. And I have to say the food was insanely good. And the best part is you walk in and you sit down and they just start pouring alcohol. And I enjoy that. I like that very much. I think that should be, for me, that's a good thing. I'm not a big drinker, but I just like to go places where I sit down and people start pouring me glasses of red wine and white wine. And then they're like, would you like regular water or sparkling water? And you're like, I'm rich. I'll have sparkling water. Like, you know, it's just, it was really great. It was really, really great. It was nice to be part of that and to see everybody. And you're walking around and there's Kate Winslet. You know, and there's Steve Carell, and there's Tina Fey. Oh, this is the part I wanted to tell you guys. It's really random. Okay, here's a little inside scoop. Mm-hmm. So when you get to your table, there's a Excel spreadsheet that has a staple. Like, it's a stick spreadsheet thing. It's like a packet. And it's on your chair. And you lift it up, and it says, looking for someone at the ball, and it's in alphabetical order. So if you flip open it, I'm looking for Tina Fey, and you flip open, it says Tina Fey, and it says she's seated at table 462 or whatever the hell table she's at. So we were dying because we're flipping through. Kate Winslet is at 117, but that's how I found my friend Matt, because there were several hundred tables, and it said Matt Schmidt, and then it said what table he was at, and then you sort of walk your way through and find people, but it's like a roadmap to the stars, and it's I saved it because it's so cool to see, like, my name in a packet with Kate Winslet's name.
Yeah.
I don't think
that'll
happen
so cool.
again anytime soon.
Oh, of course
that
it will.
So
and you know what? That's really good information to have, because God forbid I ever get to the Emmys and God forbid I ever get to the Governor's Ball pouring me free liquor, because you know what? I would walk around to each one of those tables. I'd be one of
and
those.
I would be
removed from my security by the end of the evening.
That's awesome.
That is
no, I. Yeah, it was really great. It was really good. The funniest comment I got all night, you guys, which I think you'll appreciate, is coworkers of mine, because Fox threw it, so a lot of my coworkers are there. Everyone from, like, I mean, major vice presidents are there. I'm a manager, and then there's people who are, you know, producers are there, and there's a lot of assistants. Like, everyone, a lot of people got to go. I kid you not, like, almost every single person looks at me, and they look me up and down and go, you look amazing. And the first thing I think is, no, the first thing I think is, what do I normally look like that you look at me right now and go, I look amazing? Don't you do that sometimes? You're just like, don't you do that, Victoria, when someone's like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you look great.
Yeah,
and then you're like,
no, and I And I was sitting here thinking, I know exactly how you feel, because being in television news, when people actually see you in person, they look at you, they're like, wow, you don't look the same like you look on TV. You look great in person. So I'm thinking, well, do I look ugly or kind of weird on TV then? So I completely get that. That's funny.
Oh, you couldn't
I can't
look
tell
ugly
you how many
if you
times.
Tried.
Right? I can't tell you how many times, and I mean this, I've told Kirsten Vangs this, that I've clicked on Criminal Minds, and I'm like, Kirsten, you don't look anything like that woman on the television. She's like, I know. Because if you met Kirsten in real life, you'd be like, holy cow, you don't look, it's almost like you'd meet her in person and be like, you look like the girl from Criminal Minds. I am the girl from Criminal Minds. Well, that's weird because you look 25 pounds thinner than the girl on the TV. I don't know what the TV does. Or, like, your face doesn't look like that, or your hair doesn't. It's the weirdest thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I did have a little bit of that do I look fat in these jeans moment in my tuxedo with so many people saying, wow, and you look amazing. Like, I didn't, like, just come back from Vietnam or get out of the hospital or something.
Right.
Like, why are you all saying that?
That is
it was
so
the, I think
funny.
It was the
hey,
red
listen.
Tie. You know what? That's never happened to me once. That's why I'm in radio, so.
See?
Hey, listen,
see?
Steve, you know something that I loved, and it's probably old news now, but I love the pictures that you guys did in the red, white, and blue with the cast. That whose idea was that?
That was, not to pat myself on the back, that was my idea. Every year we decide to do a different photo campaign, and those were just the roughs because we're reworking them and we're going to start putting up the finals. We already put up on our Facebook fan page, we already put up the first one with Sam Pancake, and it has stars on it now, and it says, I came up with an idea for this year because we went so classy last year. We went so old 1930s classy in tuxedos and gowns. We talked about it, and I said, let's do All-American. There's so much politics going on. Let's do red, white, and blue, and let's title everything God Bless Pretty. And we all started laughing at how silly this was. And I said, no, American flag, eagles, stars, let's do it over the top, but only red, white, and blue. So that's our new theme for this year. And we have some really amazing photos that we took. We had a new photographer, and he did a killer job for us, and I'm glad you like him because there's more to come. I think you'll be really blown away.
I just completely love them, and I just kept sort of going back and flipping through and looking at all the details. Yeah, I mean, it was just really, really cool. I think my favorite one is actually the one that I'm looking at now where with Michael with those tight jeans on fitting his little body. I thought that was cute.
I could see his unborn children. Those jeans were so tight. Everyone looked great.
Cute,
and
though.
We had so much fun. We had so much fun at that. And then this weekend was just insane. It was a very surreal time for me on Saturday morning. We actually filmed a bunch of scenes in my house. At one point in my backyard, I had hair and makeup in my backyard, Denise Alexander from General Hospital, Mary Beth Evans from Days of Our Lives, and Jeannie Francis from, who's now in The Young and the Restless, but who's known around the world as Laura from Luke and Laura years.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. And it was just a surreal moment. And I have to say, I've worked with Denise many times over the last 20 years, and she's a delight as always. Mary Beth was fantastic, and Jeannie was a dream. There was nothing that Jeannie wasn't willing to do for us. I went up to her and said, I have this teaser. Do you know what planking is? And she said, no. And we showed her a video of what planking is, and she just started giggling, and she looked at me, and she goes, do you want me to plank something? And I said, no, we want Annette to plank you. And she busted out laughing, and she said, let's do it. And
that was brilliant, by the way.
She was. It came out really cute, and I'm so thrilled. It is the fastest watch video we've ever had. It's 45 seconds. I can quantify that at least about 10,000 people have watched it, but I can tell you that number probably triples because I can't quantify all the people who put it up on their own Facebook pages and all the people who went on their blogs
mm-hmm.
and how much is sent around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just nuts. And people, everything you dreamed somebody would be like. Jeannie Francis went beyond that. She was kind
wow.
and professional, and I have to say I'm really, really happy. And no, Michael Kay, I will not reveal who she is playing, but I will tell you, when you see who she's playing, she and I agreed. She fell right into the pretty cast, which was don't wink at the camera. Don't play anything like you know it. Play it dead serious. And we were all rolling. She is a very, very funny person. And
wow.
We had a ball. We had an absolute ball.
And she looks fantastic.
And the new season. And
she does
look
fantastic.
The,
she looks amazing.
The new season, when does that kick off? November the 1st?
November 1st, the new season kicks off. However, we have a teaser up right now at prettytheseries.com. And then in about a week and a half, the official trailer will go up. And you can breathe a sigh of relief, Michael, because the trailer reveals exactly, word for word, the name, the person, the relationship of who exactly Jeannie Francis is. And I decided not to torture everybody, and I can't not reveal it because there's no way I can explain the next season without showing you exactly who she's going to play. And the people have been making great guesses. I can tell you right now, she is not Michael Champagne's mother. There's no way she could be because she and Sam are maybe 2 years apart in age. And she's not Annette of the future. I already did that with Joan Van Ark. And you will see in about a week and a half exactly who she is, and I hope we surprise some people again, just like we did with Joan Van Ark. But we're having a ball. We're having an absolute ball, and we're really excited. You are both welcome to join us on Thursday, October 27th in Hollywood, California, on the Warner Brothers lot. Warner Brothers has invited Pretty to have a screening on the lot. And
are you serious?
Yeah, we're going to have a screening on the lot and a screening in an auditorium of about 266 seats. You guys are welcome to come out here and be at it. And we, Jeannie, Kirsten, Melissa, Peterman, myself, John and Doug, Sam and Stacy will all be up on a panel afterward. And we are working right now, because of where I am, we are working to get Jane Lynch to moderate it. So we are working very hard right now to get Ms. Lynch to come out. She and Sam Pancake, who is our lead, they're very good friends. They've been friends forever, and we spoke with her, and she said as long as her Glee, if her Glee schedule can work out, she'll do it. And the thing is, she gets her Glee schedule about 2 weeks before, so she's going to let us know. But it's going to be a really fun night. So as much as I'd like to fly you out on the millions of dollars I have, if you guys have an air mile and you have a place to stay, come on
out.
Michael,
can you imagine if both of us showed up there? Well, first of all, Steve Silverman would probably pass out if we just opened up the door and said, "Hey, Steve, it's us."
Oh yeah, I would love to go. I would love to go, but you know, that's too far. I mean, Los Angeles. I'm totally kidding. But Steve, I just wanted to ask you really quickly, and actually thank you and Stacy and Kirsten and Madeline and Denise and Sam and Michael Taylor and Terry for doing that fantastic anniversary present for us, Steve and I. These people have gone above and beyond catering to their stalker fan. They sent me a lovely anniversary video for Steve and my 13th anniversary, which is coming up on October 17th. This is why I can't be in LA. But just huge thanks for that. That was very thoughtful. It made both of us cry, and just huge appreciation for you.
Well, we have huge appreciation for you. Let this go not unsaid that you season 3 of Pretty is happening because 100% of it is funded by our fans. Thank God. For the first time in 2-3 seasons, I am not taking one dime out of my own pocket. And I can tell you people, I've put quite a few dimes in myself. I paid for Jim and I paid for all of season 1. We paid half of me and John and Doug, and Jim paid for half of last season. Our fans are the ones who supported us this year. And Michael, you made a very, very kind and sweet and generous donation. And we were happy. That was the agreement. We said you had your choice. You can have a video from Stacy, or you can have a phone call from Stacy. And you chose a video, and you lucked out because we were filming Pretty, and I just decided, I said, you know what? Let's just keep going, and we'll start filming things for Michael in between because Stacy, you know, Stacy has enough to do. And so while we were filming Pretty, we went ahead and we started filming things for you. And if you go back and watch your video, you might see clues as to what's going to happen because there's a couple of new locations. I don't know if you noticed, but there's some new locations.
Well, I did notice. I did notice, mm-hmm. but I thought maybe I was crazy, so I thought I wouldn't even doubt it. I mean, I've only seen it about 60 times. It's not like I haven't gone through it once, but yeah. So that's a good piece of information, actually.
So go back and look.
Okay.
Go back and look when Melissa and Madeline and Sam are on, and Kirsten are on that couch. That's mm-hmm. my actual living room. But there are clues in that shot as to where they are, but I don't know if you'll figure it out. And if you do, keep it to yourself.
Okay, I certainly
keep it to
will.
Yourself if you do.
I certainly will. Hey, I just wanted to go ahead and make mention, too, that Drew Stevens would be great to have down with you in L.A., too. You should drop him along.
Mike Cullip and I were talking about that. Drew is amazing. Drew not only re-recorded a version of Gumdrop that we're going to use at the end of our very first episode of the new season, Drew also recorded our new song, Hot Mess, which I wrote the lyrics for. My brother tweaked the lyrics. My brother wrote basically what would be a demo. Sent it to Drew. Drew fully orchestrated it, fully sang it, and I made no changes. He did one take of it, sent it to me. I said, brilliant. And the Hot Mess song is the song that we're going to find out. Michael Champagne was in a boy band called Champagne Toast, and their big hit back in the 80s was called Hot Mess, and we filmed a 3.5-minute video that will be part of season 3 that will blow your mind. It is so silly.
Ooh, so exciting.
And fun and stupid, and we actually filmed at Victoria on the same set that we took all those photos that you were just talking about. I am the king of producing in terms of how many things can I wring out of one location. So when we found out we got that space to do a music video, I contacted the entire cast and said, guess where our photo shoot is going to be? It's going to be on the music video set.
That's perfect.
Because we killed two birds with one stone, and that's how we roll at the World of Pretty.
And that's a good producer, too. But, Steve, I think that right there is a good producer when you do that to multitask and utilize all of that for, you know, that's great.
On Saturday morning, we filmed from 8 a.m. until 2 p.m. at my house. Then we drove over the hill to the location where we do the Little White Chapel to pick up a bunch of scenes that we couldn't get to. And I needed to pick up 3 scenes, but I needed them not to be at the Little White Chapel where we shoot the pageant. So it had to look like we were in another location. We found 3 locations on the sides of the building, and it looks like you're in 3 totally different environments. And that's what you do. And we're running around.
Yeah.
We had Allie McKay with us, and we're dragging around. Well, just stand over here. It'll look like you're in a total different place. And stand by this dumpster, and no one will notice. And when I watch Pretty, I always start laughing because I go, oh, that's just, oh, we're in an office space, but you don't know it because there's a gold curtain up. Oh, I know where we are now. That's my bathroom, but no one knows it's my bathroom. Oh, he just walked down those stairs and walked around there. Those were two different days completely. Like, that's the fun. So it's cool. But on November 1st, all your questions will be answered. We'll return with probably the first episode's a little long. It's about 10 minutes. And it will feature our regular cast. It will feature Melissa Peterman and Madeline Long are both back in that episode. Jeannie Francis is in that episode. Mary Beth Evans is in that episode. Millie Hutzel is in that episode. Martha Byrne is in the episode.
Wow.
Our good friend Anthony Anderson will show up a few episodes later. But we had a lot of fun,
and
I will tell you one quick...
Steve, I'm sorry to cut you off because I'm going to forget. Speaking of Anthony, so Anthony was on At Home with Victoria, and I asked him about his experience out there, and it was very clear. He had such a great time, and I remember what really stuck out in my mind was he talked about how professional you were and the cast and how everybody just really made him feel at home and went out to dinner, and that, you know, when he left working with you guys and when he got on the airplane to come back to D.C., he thought, man, like, I really need to up my game, because being out there in L.A. and seeing what Steve does and just being out there, that whole experience, he said, really made him feel like that he just needed to up his game. So I just wanted to mention that to you.
Well, I appreciate that. I listened to that whole interview to make sure he didn't say anything bad about me. And no, I did. I listened to the whole thing. And I he had said to me too. He sent me an email and he said that he was taking notes and he was watching how we did things, which is such a nice compliment. I mean, we run a professional, I mean, we're running a mini TV show in several locations. Yep. We have a wardrobe department, we have a script supervisor, a continuity coordinator, a supervising producer, we have lighting people, we have a hair and makeup department. I will tell you, there are days when people can't show up, and Heidi Moore, who's our new production manager, who is what I like to call my triple threat, because she will do anything. In one day, she did everything from wardrobe to scripting for me to we drove Terry to a location, and then none of us realized, oh, that's right, we drove Terry to the location. Poor Terry doesn't have a ride back to her car. So Heidi just said, I'll take her, and Heidi took her back and brought us, and it's really, we try to keep it professional, and we also try to have a lot of fun. We had a ball with Anthony, and he shot with us on the very first day. It was a really long day. It was an 11-hour day, and when we were done, I turned to him. I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm probably going to get on my way and get back to my friends. And I said, no, come have dinner with me. And me and him and my editor and my assistant editor, the four of us went out, and we just had beers, and we drank, and we ate some food, and he was a doll. Mm-hmm. He was a total doll. Yeah. It was just great. I mean, even it's one of the things I spoke to Martha Byrne about, I spoke to Mary Beth Evans about, and Brendan Bradley. They all have their own web series, and I said to each of them, like, how does this compare to how you do it? And Martha told me, and I laughed. Martha's like, well, Martha doesn't have hair and makeup people. She's like, she told them to do it at home. Just show up with your hair and makeup done. And she was shocked that we had hair and makeup. And it's cool. I have to say, I have the best crew in the world, because so many of the crew who are very good friends of mine will not let me pay them. They do it because they love the project.
They love it, yeah.
We've been doing this for so long. And we've been, you know, listen, we come from theater, and theater is like, oh, it's time to paint the set. Okay, what time should I be there? Oh, you need those socks? I have a pair of those socks. Oh, it's time for lunch? I'll go get it. And that's how theater works. Mm-hmm. And we've kind of transcended to what we're doing now. And we're so excited, especially that, I mean, it's really cool to see all these new people, fans of Jeannie Francis, fans of Kirsten's, fans of Melissa's, fans of Pretty, all coming together and people really getting excited for our new season. And I
and
fingers
speaking
crossed
of Jeannie Francis,
we deliver.
Speaking of Jeannie Francis, if you can ever be so kind as to tell her and make the connection and get her on our show, Steve, that would be fantastic. And the reason why I say that is because we love her. But also, Joan Van Ark, just to let you know, and Joan Van Ark, everybody, if you don't, of course you know who she is, but Steve Silverman was kind enough to get Joan on At Home with Victoria, and she spent at least about 35, 40 minutes with us. Joan still holds the number for the most download shows on At Home with Victoria still to this day. I think it's up to close to 15,000.
Wow.
This is a great
show.
Well,
I will bet that, one, I will bet Jeannie will beat that. Two, I will, I'm going to talk to you, Michael, and we'll do our very best within the first 2 weeks of November to get her on. She is game to do anything, and I told her about, I'm not lying, I told her about your show, I told her about, Michael, you know the Indie Intertube Girls, I told her about their show, and her first thing was, are they call-ins? And I said, yes. She's like, call-ins, no problem. And there's one other show that I'd like we'd like to get her on that's not a call-in, that you have to go to the studio. It's a Sirius radio show. And the first thing she said, well, that's going to depend on my schedule. And I'm like, see, the call-in thing is friggin' awesome, because I'm sitting in my office at Fox right now, and I can call,
you
know, you're, you guys
are
across the country.
You know what I mean? Absolutely.
I'm going to the tub right now. That's how I will happily get her on, and I can tell you, and I truly, truly can say this again and again, she was an absolute delight to work with, and at the end of it, the one thing she said to me, she called me the next day to thank me, and the one thing she said was, I wish we had had more time. And that is that's, you know, Victoria, that's the greatest thing when you interview somebody and they
absolutely
say to you
insane
that they
want
to spend more time with you, not, thank God,
absolutely,
this is over.
Right.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, you are definitely right about that. Well, Steve, we love you, dude, and we're so excited for you. And, of course, you know, although Michael and I will probably never get a chance, I don't want to say never, but go to the Emmys, I was so thrilled and excited when I saw that you were going. So it's kind of cool to know somebody, you know, like yourself who's out there. And I never got a chance to tell you congratulations also on your new position. I was so excited for you about that. That's very cool.
Thank you, thank you. Working really hard and working a lot, and just craziness going on, but it's all good. And for all your listeners out there, when you're done watching At Home with Victoria, turn on Fox and watch the rest of The X Factor, so I will have a job tomorrow.
Yes, we will do that. Thanks, Steve.
Hey, Michael, let me ask you one question. Michael, did you watch New Girl?
New Girl, no, I did not.
I'm
backed up.
Okay.
I mean, not that way,
Yeah, I get you. When you get up to speed, watch New Girl, because I want to hear your thoughts on it. I think you'll really like it.
Okay, good. I certainly will, buddy. Thanks again, Steve, man. You're a fantastic dude, and I hate to use the word dude, but I just
did.
We love you tons, and congratulations on pretty season 3. Looking forward to November 1st, and so is Shannon Sybil from the UK. She was here earlier, but I wanted to go ahead and pass on a big hello and I love you to you. So,
hi, Shannon.
See you in the cast, okay? Love all the way around.
We'll talk
Bye,
to you guys
Steve.
Soon, and we'll set
okay.
something up for November. Bye-bye.
Thanks, buddy.
Sounds great. Thank you so much. And that's our fabulous Steve Silverman. He works with Fox out in L.A. and is the creator, the producer, sort of does every single thing with Pretty the Series. And the website to that is actually www.prettytheseries.com. I want to thank Mike Cullip. He's been so wonderful and with us for about an hour and 15 minutes inside the chat room, MK.
Yeah, he's my brother from another mother, I tell you. He's a great, great guy. And have you seen the anniversary video yet, Vic? I don't know.
No, I haven't seen it.
Because it's on YouTube. It's also on my
fan page,
so you should go ahead and click on that.
By the time I made it on Facebook, it had kind of bumped itself down. So I'll check your fan page out. And
check the fan page and stuff. You'll laugh your butt off. But huge. I'm so proud of Steve Silverman. Like I said, I discovered that series actually in the wintertime and was amazed by the very first episode. I was clicked and hooked, and just watching them take that little bus that could and turn it into the production values in the first season were fantastic. Season 3 is going to be amazing. I mean, I'm just so proud of him for taking nothing and making such a fantastic piece of work out of it. You're going to really enjoy this season. I'm going to enjoy this season. So.
Well, we certainly know that you are going to enjoy this season. But listen, we've been on for quite some time tonight. I'm actually very, very proud of ourselves. So I guess for the song to end on, let's just go ahead and do the gumdrop song again. I like that to end the show on.
Absolutely.
Is that a good idea?
Absolutely. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight, especially guest 9054, Mike Cullip, my brother from another mother, Pianchi and Stephen McGraw, and all the other listeners, actually, who called in to listen tonight. So, let's give it a go. And, Vic, it was nice having you back and stuff. I know we've been missing each other here and there, but it's nice to play with you.
It is. It's nice to play with you, too. And we've got some more shows coming up that we've got to play, so we'll continue to do that. And bring really good information to our listeners and our fans base. But we're going to end right now with Shelley Rand, the Gumdrop
been listening to At Home with Victoria, a popular news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Plus, download the show on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. Tune in again next time for At Home with Victoria with your host, Victoria Gaither.